Hello, everybody, and welcome back to World's True Crime. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my beautiful fiancée, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
So I just want to say before we get started that we had a few awesome messages from people, how we left the den, that the Lux Edition Network, and we also had a really cool case suggestions as well.
Which we're doing.
Which we're going to be doing from Ida and her boyfriend, Kenny, which we're going to be doing pretty soon here. So we just want to say, if you guys have any case suggestions, go to worldstruecrime.com. And the first thing that pops up is a box for case suggestions.
Oh, does it?
It does, yeah.
I haven't even looked.
Yeah, you don't go to the website, do you?
No, I don't. I stay off of that. I'm going to do Ida's case next.
So Ida, be prepared. Yours is coming up.
Yep, it is. So anyways, we are going down south to our neighbors, the good old United States of America.
Awesome.
So I've seen this case a few times and I kept pushing it off the back burner because I was just like, I don't know if I want to do this one or if it's being done too much. I don't know. But it intrigued me so much. I was just like, okay, I got to do it.
Okay.
So have you heard of Audie Sanchez?
No.
Well, this is the story about another female killer, but this time it was with her own baby. And what she does makes me so sick inside. So at this point, I just want to put a disclaimer out there. So if you find it too hard to hear about deaths, especially a child death, we completely understand if you want to switch the episode off and listen to something else.
Yeah, because you do the same thing. Like I would say about 2 years ago, if you heard anything about a child's death or baby death, you would have no interest in it whatsoever.
Zip it, Brad.
Well, when I used to do cases for you, when we first started, I like avoided baby cases like the freaking plague.
Yeah.
Cause you were like,
I didn't want to hear it.
You didn't want to hear it. And you're like, even when we started the podcast, you're like, do we have to do baby cases?
I know.
And you're like, I'm like, well, a lot of them are baby cases.
I know.
So you've been slowly getting yourself into it.
Yeah. But this one here gets extremely unsettling, inhuman, and I would say even savage. Although these stories are extremely hard, and I, for one, as you know, hate these kind of stories, Scotty needs a voice.
Right.
So this story takes place in San Antonio, Texas. Audie Sanchez was 33 years old, and she had a history of schizophrenia and numerous hospitalizations in over half a decade. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Well, schizophrenia is pretty big, like... You go through a lot of, it's not just like schizophrenia, it's, there's a lot of other stuff surrounding it as well.
Mm-hmm. So she was married to Scott Buchholz, who she met at San Antonio College of Medical and Dental Assistants.
Well, that's really good too, though, that she's in medical school and being a schizophrenic.
Right.
That's really good.
Yeah. But unfortunately, their relationship had many ups and downs in the 6 years they were together. Mostly down, as both were diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Oh, so he had it too.
Mm-hmm. I had to look it up because I was just like, what are the chances of both of them having schizophrenia and being together? And it's estimated that 0.25 to 0.64% of adult population has schizophrenia. So the chances of both of them having it together is extremely low.
That is really low. You would always think that, like, you get... in a plane crash, more times than that happens.
Right? Yeah. As for Scott, he had a government disability check. And as for Audie, well, she had a job as an in-home healthcare worker working for seniors. She tried not to let her disability get in the way of success, but Audie said she started to use drugs in 2006, and that's when the voices in her head started.
Yeah, like we talked about a few episodes ago. My friend who had hard drugs, he is now living on the streets and is dealing with schizophrenia and voices in his head.
Yep. Hardcore drugs and schizophrenia are not friends. Being on drugs and in a relationship with Scott, Audie went to Austin and got in touch with her ex-boyfriend, Victor. But when I looked it up, Victor has quotation marks beside his name, so I think that they did that to hide his identity.
Most likely, yeah, because you want to protect the innocent, right?
Right. So while in Austin, Audie was admitted into Austin State Hospital and was diagnosed with psychosis. She was prescribed medication and then sent on her merry way.
That's usually what happens though, right? Put him on medication and then say bye-bye.
Yep. 2 years later, in 2008, Audie was seen at the Center for Healthcare Services in San Antonio for being paranoid, mildly delusional, depressed, and with psychotic hallucinations. During this time, the doctor decided to change up her medications because obviously the other stuff isn't working since things were getting far worse.
Well, yeah, like probably too, you need to like up the ante too with the medication because 2 years, your body's going to get used to it and you might have to either change it or up it.
Right, exactly. So with this change, there was an improvement in Audie. The voices actually went away. But as we all know, the healthcare system in the United States is not the best, and because of this, Audie could not afford these expensive medications, so she stopped taking her psychotropic medications altogether.
Well, yeah, because it's probably expensive there in the United States for medication.
Yeah.
Being in Canada, we don't have to worry about that too much because we have very, very good healthcare system.
Right. And I just want to say, like, the U.S., you need to start taking care of your people.
Yeah, for medical, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, your pockets are full, and the everyday people are struggling, especially nowadays.
Oh, 100%. Like, we don't have issues at all with it.
No. So after 6 years of their on and off again relationship with Scott, the two found out that Audie was pregnant. So because of the baby coming along, they decided that they were going to try to make their relationship work.
Oh, that's really not a good thing either, right?
It isn't. If you're already having struggles in your relationship, having a baby coming along is not going to fix it.
And also, too, both of them having schizophrenia.
Yeah. Pregnant and not in a good mental state. However, things were looking up. Audie was great at being pregnant and even took care of herself. She was very interested in the faith, Jehovah's Witness, and even worked up until 2 weeks before giving birth.
Which is very commendable.
It is. I wouldn't have, actually. No.
I don't think you did ever.
No. On June 30th, 2009, Audie welcomed her beautiful, perfect baby boy, Scotty Wesley Buchholz Sanchez.
So took the name after the father.
He did. But things quickly changed. I saw pictures and he was so adorable. I will post the pictures on our socials.
Okay.
Anyways, after the birth of the baby comes what? Postpartum.
Oh, well, not everybody, but yeah, for the most, a lot of people, yeah.
Because your hormones are out of whack.
And so you're already in a mental state taking medication and stuff like that. So it probably wasn't too much out of the ordinary for her to go into postpartum.
Right. So her actual mental health took a nosedive. Schizophrenia and postpartum are an ugly mix. It didn't help that her recovery after birth was complicated by getting an infection and being put on a catheter for a week.
Wow.
Do you know what a catheter?
They put the needle in you or is it the
to help you pee?
The pee, yeah, that's right.
So anyways, Audie's mood was spiraling out of control and the postpartum was getting worse. After 2 weeks, as a family of three, Audie left the family home to be with her sister and mom. Us moms know out there how hormones change us. Dads do too.
More so the moms. We know the back end of it, yep.
Yeah. So this, on top of already being a mental break away from losing all her shit, was creeping up on her. Then add on, not medicated because of the affordability, disaster was on the horizon.
Well, yeah, if you can't afford your pills anymore, and you also have a new baby on the out there, right? They're not cheap. Babies are not cheap. Formula cost, diapers cost.
And in the States, you have to pay to have a baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you?
It's not free like in Canada.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It costs a lot of money to have a baby down there.
So you got to pay the hospital?
You have to pay the hospital, everything.
Oh, if anybody in the United States wants to let us know how much that is, that'd be great.
Yeah. It's probably expensive. I think I've seen some people were paying like $25,000 out of pocket.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that everywhere? Let us know, guys.
Yeah.
RoadsTrueCrime.com.
Oh.
RoadsTrueCrime@hotmail.com.
There you go. So on July 20th, 33-year-old Audie was taken by ambulance to the Metropolitan Methodist Hospital for auditory and visual hallucinations and delusions. She insisted that she needed to stay, but the hospital released her in the hands of her sister, Priscilla Garcia.
Well, I just want to clear that bed to get somebody else in there, right?
That's right. Which, it's like that in Canada, too.
They do get you out pretty quick.
They try to get you out very quick.
But at least they get you in first, though.
They do get you in. Audie was so paranoid that she was certain that people were spying on her and plotting to take away her baby. As the days went on, the voices in her head got louder. She could hear them screaming. And what did they scream?
Kill your child, probably.
The devil was her son.
Right, yeah. That's what they all say, though. When people go through, like, psychotic
breaks
and stuff like that, they always say, like, oh, your son's the devil. You got to kill your son or kill your husband. Or, you know.
Yeah.
Most likely that, because I don't know, you've heard that a few times towards me, but, I mean, you've restrained yourself, which I commend you for.
Thank you. Yeah. I just text your mom. I want to kill your son.
Yeah. And I get a text about hide from my mom. Yeah.
So anyways, she was so sure the voices were telling her the truth and that she even stopped looking at Scotty in his eyes, fearing him, avoiding eye contact altogether. Oh, I couldn't imagine that, like not looking at your baby.
I know. Like, or also even look at your baby in those eyes of how you feel that they're the devil.
Well, she truly believed it.
Which is hard. Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this postpartum depression was like no other. She had been prescribed the antidepressants citalopram after giving birth, but had only taken it a day before killing her son. Oh, I just realized. That's what I'm on.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm on. But anyone who knows about antidepressants knows it takes weeks before they take on their full effect.
Actually, for mine, it took longer when I had my incident.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually on one and actually like, I felt like a shell. I had no emotions.
Yeah.
And then I told the doctor, I said, I can't live like this. So they gave me some other stuff. It took about like 2 months for that to actually kick in really well, but it works.
Right. I think mine took about a month, but then they had to adjust the dosage.
Yeah.
So in reality, there was nothing in her system yet because she only took once the day before. One pill. It
doesn't help you whatsoever.
That's not going to do anything. So what happens next was straight up murder of a 3-week-old baby. We are going into movie time.
3 weeks old? Oh my God, this is going to be hard. Old. Okay, this movie time is going to be a little tough. I got this on my mind now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Beetlejuice. It's showtime.
So what is our day?
We are going to July 26th, 2009.
Okay, just a few months after Braden was born.
Yeah, really? So, you ready?
Yeah.
Armed with the latest high-tech spy gear, a guinea pig named Darwin and his team of specially trained rodents are often the last line of defense against chaos and destruction. But when the government shuts them down and ships them off to a pet shop, Darwin and his gang will have to find a way to break out and prevent a mad billionaire, Bill Nye, from taking over the world. I thought it was Nye at first, but Nye?
It's probably a play on Bill Nye.
Probably.
The science guy, is that it?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's animated probably, right?
It is animated.
The only thing I think of that comes to my mind is a movie called Nine.
Nope.
I think you're going to stump me this because I don't know a lot of animated movies. Like I know, oh my God.
You're not really an animated kind of person.
No, I'm not.
Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know this one. We have to bow out of this one.
Well, to be fair, it was only number one for 1 week.
Yeah, but I think it still should know it.
It is G-Force.
I have absolutely never heard of it.
Okay, that's a win for me. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, really?
Sam Rockwell. Penelope Cruz.
It's funny because a lot of animated movies get a lot of big actors in it and actresses.
And Zach, I can never say his last name.
Galifianakis?
Yes. Steve Buscemi?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Morgan, Tracy Morgan. Yeah, big names. So, yeah, G-Force.
I could honestly say I've never seen it.
I know. I haven't either. And I like animated movies. Okay, on to the story. Audie's husband tried daily for his wife and son to come back home, but she ignored all his calls. She instead stayed with her sister, and her mom stayed in another residence behind her sister's home. Just hours before the incident, Audie went back to her home for about 15 minutes, like her husband's home.
Yeah.
But when her husband asked about Scotty's birth certificate so that he could get a social security number, he said it set her off. She grabbed Scotty and said, I gotta go, I'm out of here. Running out the door with little Scotty in the car seat, Audie didn't even grab the diaper bag or her purse or even her medications. Throwing the car seat in the front seat, she sped off without even buckling him in.
Wow.
That's really hard for her. Like, that's only a 3 week old.
I know, because when, you know, our son was born, it was like, we were, everything was like, had to be perfect. You had to have everything out of the house. We had to have bottles. We had to have, like, it was just, you know, just to go out somewhere for an hour or two, we'd have to.
And sat in the back seat with him?
Yeah, exactly.
Scott's mother, seeing this interaction, called 911. So the police came by to check on the disturbance and make a report. That night, he went on about his life and went to a Judas Priest concert. While there, he received a call from Audie. She said, I found someone else and never want to see you again. While she was at her sister's home in the 300 block of Wayside Drive between 1:30 and 4:30, Audie makes a decision that will affect everyone and tear a family apart. During the hours before the murder, Priscilla said that Audie kept bringing her Scotty, saying that she was hearing voices.
Priscilla's her sister, right?
Priscilla is her sister. Between Priscilla and Audie's mom, the woman took turns caring for Audie so then everyone could get some sleep. When Audie was calmed down, Priscilla gave Scotty back to her. But in the wee hours around 4:30, Priscilla was woken to a deathly scream. The baby is dead. The baby is dead. Please, somebody come.
Wow, she did that at her family home there?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe she'd be like, took it somewhere and, you know, to another location or something and maybe did away with him, but.
This gets way worse.
Holy, this is tough. This is tough for me, and I'm pretty desensitized by this stuff, but I'm already starting to feel this one.
On July 26, 2009, at 5 a.m., 911 got a horrific call. I'm going to play that call.
Oh, my God.
San Antonio Fire and EMS, how can we help you?
I need an ambulance at 351 Wayside Drive.
351 Wayside?
Yes.
Is it a house or an apartment?
It's a house. It's an emergency.
Okay. And what's going on? What's the emergency?
I'm sorry?
What's the emergency? What's going on?
My sister has... She's her child.
Hello?
Hello?
Tell me what's going on. Don't talk to the other people. Talk to me.
My sister has... She's hurt her child. Seriously, hurt her child.
How did she do that? What's going on with the child?
The baby is dead. She has...
What did you say?
The baby is dead.
How old is the baby?
Maybe 3 weeks... Not even 3 weeks old.
3 weeks old?
Not even 3 weeks old, please.
What did she do to him?
Oh, she,
or her?
She stabbed him. There's blood all over the bed. I don't know.
All right, ma'am. Stay on the line. We're going to connect you up to the police, okay? Stay on the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Go ahead.
Ma'am, what is your name?
My name is Priscilla Garcia.
Where is your sister at?
You guys stay there, Abby. Stay there. I'm sorry.
Priscilla, where's your sister at?
She's still sitting on the couch. She's gone crazy last night. She was hearing voices. She kept bringing me the baby, and finally she calmed down, and I took her back the baby. And then now I just woke up to hear screaming.
Okay, how old is the baby?
Not even 3 weeks old. She's the baby's dead. The baby's dead. Jeez, somebody call.
Okay, there are other ways, buddy, okay?
I need the keys so I can open the front door.
Oh, my
All right. All right, ma'am. Everybody's on the way to help you, okay?
Oh, I need to find the keys to the front door. No, no, Abby, nobody's dead. It's okay, baby. Just stay right there.
Is that your sister?
Yes. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. You stabbed yourself?
Yes.
Hi, sister, I told you to come to me.
I tried, but you told me that you died.
I'm not dead, Abby. I'm standing right here talking to you.
Priscilla.
Yes.
Where did she stab herself?
In the heart and in the stomach, she says.
No. Where did she
stab? I see a stab wound in her heart, yes.
Your sister?
I'm looking at her right now, yes.
EMS. Okay. All right, they're on their way, okay?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I love you.
Got me.
I love you.
Mama, calm down.
I didn't mean to do what he told me to. I'm
worried. Mama, I'm on the phone with EMS right now. I can't call him right now.
Ma'am?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and let you go, okay? They're on their way.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
I think that's a really heartbreaking call right there. I wish, like, in 2009, you thought you'd have better quality. It's a little tough to hear because there's a lot of scratching, but yeah, you could get the gist of it. That's pretty scary.
It's pretty bad. You could hear her saying, I loved him, but he told me to do it.
Yeah, I know. That's heartbreaking. Like, 911 calls are always hard because you're getting the voice of the people at, like, immediately after it happened and what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you could hear cases and stuff and then, you know, just kind of like brush it off. Once you hear that 911 call immediately after the incident and you hear the panic and everything else that's going on at the time.
Yeah.
It makes it real.
And you can hear them say, don't touch anything. But Audie's mother was holding the baby.
Yeah. Which is understandable because, you know, when you're going through that kind of like stress,
yeah,
and trauma, you don't think about stuff like that.
No,
the first thing you want to do is just give love to the
right
to your baby, the right baby.
So there was absolutely no saving Scotty at all. So what happened that early morning was absolutely disgusting, brutal, and outright horror. When the police arrived at the residence, they found Scotty dead. I'd also like to remind you again that what you are about to hear is extremely violent and listener's discretion is again advised because it's pretty brutal what she did to Scotty.
Okay, I'm out.
No, gotta listen. Scotty had been decapitated and grossly mutilated in the bedroom. Audie stabbed her child in his small chest repeatedly. She then tore off his face, skinned, gutted, and chewed off three of his tiny toes. And finally consumed part of his brain and other parts like his nose. As you can guess, there was blood everywhere, especially all over the bed where she had killed her son. In the home, police found the steak knife and two swords that she used on her newborn.
I'd want to say something right now, but it's so hard because, like, I'm going through a lot of emotions right now.
Swords.
And I have swords.
Yeah. Audie, too, had self-inflicted wounds, and she had even sliced her throat. I read that when the police arrived, the murder was so grisly that the officers barely spoke to each other while searching the house. Some of them even needed counseling afterwards.
If you didn't need counseling after that, then you might need counseling for something that's going on, you know, otherwise in your life, because that is...
Walking in, seeing this 3-week-old decapitated, parts of him have been consumed, stabbed over and over again, like this little 3-week-old baby stabbed over and over again.
Yeah, that's extremely tough.
Antonio Police Chief William McManus said, normally you don't see a scene this magnitude in terms of the atrocity. When you do, it certainly leaves a lasting impression. That is when the police noticed parts of Scotty were missing as Audie had eaten him. McManus said, "At this particular scene, you could have heard a pin drop. No one was speaking. It was about as somber as it could have been." Audie was then arrested and charged with capital murder, where her bail was set at $1 million and remained under observation at University Hospital, where she was treated for her own wounds.
Yeah, she's on suicide watch, so she probably has like a lot of guards around her, and $1 million bail, I don't think is enough. I don't think, because like, it's only like 10%.
So. Yeah.
I mean, she could literally get out $100,000 or something like
that. I know. But with capital murder, you can be sent to the death penalty.
In Texas? Hell yeah.
Yep. Scotty's father wanted her to be charged the ultimate price for what she did to their son, Scotty. He said, "She was a sweet person and I still love her, but she needs to pay the ultimate price for what she has done. She needs to be put to death for what she has done."
That's hardcore. Like, that's the person you love. You're like, I want the person I love to pay the ultimate price and die.
Yeah. Killing his son.
So then he's willing to lose
everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Yep. Well, he's already lost her, right?
Yeah. And he lost his son. So yeah. She's like, she's in jail forever, no matter what.
Right. Although he wants her to be put to death for killing Scotty, her family are hoping the authorities will take her condition, mental illness, and postpartum psychosis into consideration. Her cousin Greg Garcia said, "It's just tragic and unbelievable what happened. She was a good-hearted working person, but she had been diagnosed with schizophrenia last year."
And she did work 2 weeks before Scotty was born.
Right. Her aunt Gloria said, "Her niece had been in and out of a psychiatric ward, and that the hospital called several months ago looking to check up on her. Audie didn't mean to do that. She was not in the right mind." Of course she wasn't in her right mind.
No.
After three separate examinations by doctors, they all agreed that Audie was legally sane when she murdered her son. So the courts accepted her plea.
I don't understand how they think that she was sane, though, because she's on medication, which you just started. The severity of it is not something a sane person would do.
So how they check to see if you're sane or not?
You got that.
Yeah.
You're just doing exactly what I do to you.
I am, yeah. So how they check to see if you are sane or not is asking if they understand the difference between right and wrong. She knew. The question is whether or not you know your act is wrong. And she knew right away that killing her son was wrong.
But the voices in her head told her to do it.
The voices told her to do it, but she knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
Dr. Lucy Perrier, a Houston psychiatrist and author who also testified in the Andrea Yates trial, said, "Mothers who experience postpartum psychosis often have a history of other mental disorders, but in some cases, childbirth triggers psychosis," which I totally understand that. Because your hormones are out of whack.
Oh, extremely out of whack. Yeah. Because I know.
Yeah.
I'm probably not the source you should be going to on that one.
No, I don't think so. You have a penis. So anyways.
Some would say.
County District Attorney Susan Reed said, "She will be committed until the court decides she is not a danger to herself or anyone else." She also said that although Audie sought help before the murder, none was given. A lot of people are okay when they are taking their medications, but once they stop taking them, they are a danger again. Child Protective Services officials said that Audie had never been investigated by the agency prior to the killing. The agency only went to the home investigating conditions after the fact, because Sanchez's sister, Priscilla, she had children ages 5 and 7 who also lived there. That's kind of crazy to me. Like, she killed her child, brutally murdered her child, and there was other children under that roof.
Yeah, but they probably weren't in harm, because she was only after her child, who's the demon.
You never know. All of a sudden it's like, oh, the demon is out of that baby, let's go kill this child now because it's in that child.
I just want to point out too, like, you're talking about, they saw that she changed the medication, like you said earlier, because it wasn't working for her,
right?
So they put her on this new stuff, right? And then and she was still getting used to this stuff. That's why it all happened.
Well, she only took one dose.
Well, that's what I mean, right? She was on this new medication, right? So she was still, she still had the old stuff in her body, right? So it still would have helped out a little bit because she still had the, she just changed medications over.
She wasn't taking any for a long time because she couldn't afford it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then she finally was able to afford a little bit of it, and then just, she went through this.
Yeah. In an interview, Audie explains why she murdered her son. This is what she said. The voices told me to eat his insides. I was a harlot because I had committed adultery. There was a demon in my stomach. The demons would come out of her stomach if she ate Scotty. This had to be done by 5 in the morning. Scotty would evolve and he would no longer be possessed.
Oh, so you talked about adultery. So is that that Victor we were talking about earlier? She committed adultery with Victor?
Maybe.
And maybe she just felt like it was, what do you call that? Remorse.
Remorse, yeah. She admitted that eating her son did make her gag and throw up, but the voices in her head told her to keep doing it. So I bet you're wondering whatever happened to Audie.
Well, I'm hoping that it had to do something with the electric chair.
Well, after going to trial, she was found not guilty.
By reason of insanity.
By reason of insanity. She was sent to North Texas State Hospital Vernon Facility, a maximum security mental institute, and will receive yearly evaluations, but it is unlikely that she'll ever be released.
Okay, yeah, okay. I have a lot to say about that. Yes, she was definitely went through mental psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
And they did say that she was sane at the time of the killings because she knew what was wrong. But at the same time, though, yeah, you know what's wrong, but you can't help it because you're hearing voices saying that's right.
Right.
So it's kind of a back and forth thing. You can't always say that, oh, they knew what they're doing, but so they're sane. Well, they're going through a lot of mental psychosis.
Right.
So I do believe that she definitely was mentally insane at the time of the murders, even though she knew what she was doing.
Yes.
But I don't, honestly, it probably is the best place for her. I wish she would have got help before it happened, though.
I wish she would have gotten help. She tried to get help, and she was just sent on her way.
Let's this one get the next person through. Like, just, you know, it's like a... it's like
a revolving door.
A revolving door. Yeah. You want to get people in and out, as many people as possible through the day. And then some people just fall through the cracks, like her. And unfortunately, Scotty had to pay the ultimate price for it.
Oh, did he ever?
At the same time, though, he was young enough where he didn't understand. Like, if you're a little older and your mom comes in your room and starts stabbing you, and then you have that, you know that your mom's doing that.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 3 weeks old. It's the saddest thing ever. I'm not putting light on that. I'm just saying that. That's the one thing that she didn't wait till he was older where he realized what was actually happening.
Exactly. So I do have a warning to new moms and their loved ones, because we're going back to the postpartum. An estimated 1,000 women are afflicted with postpartum psychosis. Women with the diagnosis can suffer dangerous delusions and desire to hurt their children, unlike postpartum depression, which occurs in many as 1 in 5 new mothers. So postpartum depression, that's how often people get it. It's 1 in every 5. Psychosis is every 1,000.
But most moms do seek help for it.
I didn't. For postpartum depression, I did not.
Well, you should have.
I didn't. Postpartum psychosis includes delusional thoughts, hallucinations, and an altered state of reality. What Dr. Lucy Puyer said is the scary thing is that the delusions are usually always about the baby. In all of the high-profile cases, the thinking involves the baby. The mother had to kill the baby to protect it, or God has spoken to the mother and there is a mission to kill the baby, or sometimes the baby is the devil who needs to be gotten rid of to save the world. Like I mentioned earlier, we have cases like Andrea Yates, who murdered her 5 children
in the bathtub,
or even Dina Schlosser, who cut off her baby's arms from psychosis. This is a real problem. And if you know someone who is suffering, please seek out help for them, because they won't know any different. So if you see somebody who, you know, was had a baby and is struggling, seek out and help them.
Oh, 100%. Talking to them, counseling them a little bit will help out.
Yeah. Because usually they won't know that they have a problem.
And they won't seek help either, because they don't think they have a problem.
So just be wary of people who have babies. Not everyone's going to have postpartum. Like most, like 1 in 5 postpartum depression, but psychosis, not everyone's going to have that. But just be aware. It's not their fault that they have problems. It's a hormonal thing.
Right. It's better to talk to them than to look away.
Right.
So
I just want to throw that in there to, you know, just be a good friend.
Yeah. That's tough. It could save a life. I think that if she could have got out of the whole situation, if she didn't maybe have the baby, like maybe if they put him in a separate room or something like that, it might've helped out a little bit more. But at the end of the day, you know, it might've happened later on. Maybe just not that night, but maybe the night after or the night after. Or before the drugs even kicked in, because like I said, it could take 2 months, and she just started it.
I knew about postpartum depression because having 3 kids, but the psychosis, I never knew this was a thing, that you want to kill your child. She also thought about apocalypse.
Oh, okay. So she thought that the apocalypse was coming, or that killing her child
would stop
the apocalypse, which is, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was, it's weird too, because she was a Jehovah's Witness.
She was.
So yeah, that's probably did a lot to it as well.
Which is weird, because like I know Jehovah's Witness and they don't seek help. They don't go to the doctor. They don't like believe in medications or stuff like that. A friend of mine, I asked her like what would happen if your child needed surgery to save their life? And they said that they would let their child die.
Yeah. I had an uncle who switched over to Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Through marriage, he passed away at an early age, through a lot of stuff because he didn't seek help either.
Right.
So that it does happen.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
There's a lot of things in this case that came to Scotty dying.
Right. It was just one little snowball effect. Yeah. It started with a small pebble and just kept rolling and rolling and rolling.
Right.
And the faster it rolled out, her mental health was going the same direction.
Right. Do I blame her? Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I blame her.
Like, I blame her. I blame the system. I blame so much.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's the case of Audie Sanchez and little Scotty.
That's a very, very sad case because, like, I don't, it's tough for me. It's hard for me to find the words because the emotion for me is a little bit, like, I could separate myself, but this one here is very hard to separate myself from it.
It wasn't just a murder. She brutalized this child.
Yeah. I could put little boxes in my mind and like put a chain around him and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
This one here, like you're trying to put the chain on, it keeps pushing it open. It's just like, oh, it's like the sheer, like, cause I imagine the crime scene in my head. And it's just, I have no words for that because it's so terrifying in my head.
Yeah.
Wow. Tough case.
It was.
That's your first baby one, isn't it?
It is. There was another case I did with children dying, and that was Kesa Emilia Vorninen.
Oh, yeah, right. Kaiza,
yeah. And she went and killed a bunch of her babies.
Put them in bags in the freezer and stuff. Yeah. That was a tough one. That was our Patreon one. We had a Patreon, but then we put it on our regular episodes. Because we wanted to just put our Patreon ones as well.
But I thought I'd step out of the box and do something like this, and it's out of my realm.
Speaking of that, too, we have a lot of cases on Patreon, which we actually got rid of our Patreon, but we have a lot of cases on there, like episodes recorded. We might throw a couple on here and throw a spot for everybody.
Well, we have a sports theme.
Yeah.
And what was the
cults?
Cults.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we have a few of them on there. We might throw on here once in a while just to, you know, for whatever, right? Because I don't think we're going to do Patreon for a little while longer.
I think we're going to hold off on that.
Yeah, we might as well.
Yeah.
So
I think it's too much work.
Well, it's not that. We just don't really care because. And we're not really, you know, we're not really doing this for people to donate us money.
Right.
We're trying to do this.
Educate.
Yeah, educate. And for us personally, for us to bond over, you know, a podcast and sitting here and instead of, you know, sitting on our phones, watching TV, we could talk to each other. And
it gives me about a murder. Purpose too.
Yeah, it gives you a purpose. You're not working and
no,
gives you something to do in the daytime. And yeah, it's,
yep.
We enjoy doing this. So that's that.
Anyways, let's shut her down.
Let's do that.
The world is not always as it seems.
No, it's not. Bye, guys. Pirates. Okay, bye, Jinx. Everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the World's True Crime Podcast. If you liked what you heard and would like to help us out, please give us 5 stars or a review on any podcast site. Recommending us to your friends and family would be a bonus. If you didn't like what you heard, then you can still give us 5 stars and comment how bad we are.